This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Fender Bender on Joy 94.9, revving up the weekends with news and views on all things motoring.
Yes, welcome one and all to another edition of Fender Bender on Joy 94.9. My name is Tim Nicholson and I'm very, very happy to have your company on this rather dreary Saturday afternoon. Big thanks to Mark and Joe for the escape pod, of course, as always, and a bigger thank you. Well, I shouldn't say bigger thank you, that's rude, but an equally as big thank you for Mike Costello and Dan Gardner for being here with me today.
I'm not sure we deserve an equal thank you. I mean, I would settle for a slightly lesser thank you.
Really? We haven't really, you know, proved ourselves yet today. We might not be worthy of such a thank
you. That's true. You could be on your B game. Who knows? But we're pumped. We're excited to be in Melbourne today because tonight's a big night in the city, right?
It is. White night.
It's all happening.
Yeah. It's funny because last year it sort of snuck up, didn't it? It was talked about. It was this weird idea. I think it was from Paris originally and everyone sort of thought, oh, it sounds interesting. And everybody in Victoria similarly went, it was insane, and this year I think they're ready for it, they're expecting it, and well, I'm going to go check it out. I think it'll be great.
It's going to be very interesting. Does it mean that only white people are allowed in the city?
Oh, dear.
No. I hope that's not the case.
Well, it's funny because although it's called White Night, I'm struggling to remember any sort of white light at all from last year. It was all very colourful.
That's true.
It was almost joy-esque in its colours.
Ooh. It was a very camp evening.
Yeah.
No doubt about it.
Yeah, I was there.
Yeah, well, I think all around, what was it, the theatre down on Flinders Street? I can't remember the name of the darn theatre, but apparently that was all lit up. And it's funny because I think I was one of the only people in Melbourne that didn't go last year because I kind of thought, oh, it's going to be awful. And then the next day I was like, no, it was really cool.
So, well, I wasn't going
to.
I started getting phone calls saying you had to go see this. All right.
I know.
I'm really glad because it was amazing.
Exactly.
So if you're not planning on checking it out and you live in Melbourne, I urge you to go check
go
it out.
Go and do it. And I think there's public transport like all night, so you've kind of got no excuse, quite frankly. Unless you don't live near public transport, in which case you should drive. But don't drink anyway. I digress. This is Fender Bender. It is all about automotive things.
Well, I like the way you brought that back round to cars.
I eventually got there.
It was very nicely done. There. Skillful.
It's true. Now, last week, I was manning the fort on my own. I had a couple of wonderful guests, but I had a bit of a chat to myself about, obviously, the biggest news item last week, boys, was the Toyota collapse. Not much has really kind of come out this week to add to that story, really, has it? It's still very sad, but nothing really new this week.
No, it's sort of done, isn't it?
It
really
is, isn't it?
What else is there to say?
Well, and I guess the only thing that's left now is just all the other parts makers and things who are going to collapse with it. But Toyota leaving basically means the car industry is dead now. There's nothing left. It's all gone. Well, it will be gone in 2017.
Excuse me. There is a little maker called Bolwell out there.
Oh, that's a good point. It is a good point.
That's it.
There was one thing.
If you need a mobility scooter, then they will help you out.
Hey, you can have fun on a mobility scooter. There was one thing that came out during the week, which was Toyota said that now they've got to convince people that they still actually will sell cars here.
This is
the
thing.
People think they're not going to be able to go buy a Hilux in 2017.
Yeah.
People don't actually realise, and how can you blame them, that Toyota only make a couple of cars here, not everything here.
Yeah.
And they will import stuff and they'll still sell things.
Yeah.
You'll still be able to buy a Toyota car. It just won't be made here. So that's their battle. And Holden faces the same thing. Ford faces the same thing.
It's funny though. Are people just reading the headlines? And like, do you know what I mean?
I guess the headlines can be misleading. I mean, you read, not on our publication, of course.
Of course.
But you do read headlines that say, things like Toyota leaving. And that implies that the company's leaving. Whereas, of course, they're not. And I guess, we're all car enthusiasts. So I guess we take more of an interest in these things than most. But if you're not deeply involved in the car industry, you could be forgiven for thinking that the whole brand is up and leaving.
Yeah.
Which, in actual fact, just isn't the case.
Now, Mark Costello, I do have to bring something up because I did see something on a social media page recently about an ABC television show that may have been a little loose with the facts. Now, this is Sean McAuliffe, who we all love. He's amazing.
Absolutely.
And the show is Mad as Hell.
Yep.
And it's funny you mentioned it. I meant to mention this earlier because I did pick up a couple of things as well. So what
I had
a
bit
do?
Of a rant and all my, bleeding heart friends got very upset with me that I dared to insult the beloved ABC, but I did. I love McAuliffe. I think he's one of the great wits of our culture for the last, you know, few decades. He's done some amazing stuff. There was a show on during the week, Mad as Hell, which is really popular for good reason. They did a segment on the car industry collapsing, and they got so many facts wrong. It was just painful. And my point was that, you know, just because you're funny doesn't excuse you not getting the facts right. It's political satire. Do your research. Otherwise, it's toothless. You know, and there was I could go on for a long time about how many things I got wrong. But it just irked me because it's such a misunderstood issue. And that kind of ties into the whole issue. When people, there's misunderstandings left, right and centre over this. You know, and it's reported in a pretty inaccurate sort of way.
Well said, Mike.
And I agree. And it's funny because the thing that I noticed the most was when they showed, they had pictures of each of the car makers, you know, biggest selling Australian cars, and they were the last generation of each car.
And they weren't even the ones that were made here.
Weren't they?
It was like a RAV4, which has never been made.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, you know, it's quite absurd.
Well, they did too. There was a couple of them.
And saying things
the old
like
ones.
Ford won't be the first to leave because they're lazy and American. And in actual fact, Ford will be the first to leave. It's not hard to figure it out.
Oh, dear.
It's written about very
amateur
clearly.
Amateur mistakes.
Yeah.
It just irked me that, you know, people, just because you're doing funny, you can also get your facts.
And don't they have a fact-checking unit, the ABC?
But, I mean, you know, there's a very famous man, you may have heard of him, called Jeremy Clarkson, who has forged a career out of being wrong and funny at the same time.
That is true.
So, you know, I think people look at him as a standard, particularly when talking about cars, and go, well, if you can get away with it, so can me.
He's funny.
But wrong!
I'm kidding. No, I was just question marking.
All right, see.
No, it's not Jonathan Holmes anymore. It's who's the new Media Watch host? Paul Barry. I would like to take McAuliffe to account and say, you're a funny man, love your work, but you were wrong and your show didn't do its facts.
Yeah, exactly.
Well said.
Well, they are good. The ABC are getting better with looking at their own stuff now. So who knows? Maybe next week we'll have to keep our eyes peeled. Now, sticking with Australia, guys, there's been some huge news in the last couple of days that is just going to rock the supercar world. Porsche, guys, have got a huge recall on their hands. It's devastating for the industry, I believe.
Am I detecting a slight hint of sarcasm in your voice?
Look, David? I believe you might be.
Right.
What has happened to Porsche? What have they done here? And how many people are affected?
This is related to the Porsche GT3, I believe, the current one, which is a fabulous car. And by all accounts, I haven't been lucky enough to drive one yet. See, I'm optimistic. And one decided it was going to burst into flames.
Two. One in Switzerland, one in Italy. So they've sold about 750 units, this car, so far. It's a racetrack-honed, you know, mental version of the already fast 911.
Yeah.
Two have caught fire due to an engine issue.
But that's all they know at the moment.
Yeah, and their Stuttgart headquarters are frantically thumbing over the remains of these cars and trying to figure out what happened.
Yeah.
In the interim, they've recalled all 750 of them, including five in Australia.
Five.
And they're going to pick them up on trucks and take them back and wait until they figure out the problem and fix the problem and give them a loan car in the interim.
What loan car do you get?
Can you imagine?
But if you own a GT3, I'm pretty sure that's not your only car.
Yeah.
You probably have like 30 cars in your private garage with a rotating floor in your giant mansion in Turak. If you own a GT3, you're not too concerned about losing one car. It is a big problem. It made for a spectacular photo of this GT3 on fire, a bit like the Ferrari 458 caught fire when it first came out. And, you know, a Porsche on fire makes for a sexy headline, and it's gone around the world. But in reality, Porsche is generally a pretty reliable car maker.
Well, I can't remember the last time I've heard of something like this.
They've obviously stuffed up this car to some degree. They'll sort it. It'll be done.
Is it wrong that, though, I kind of am not really feeling any pity for those five people in Australia because of their rotating garages and that kind of thing? It's
suck
it up.
If they're in the car and it blows up,
I'd feel
a little sorry for them, maybe. I don't know how much good my pity would do.
Look, they'll just get into the S-Class and drive that for a while instead, probably.
That'll be fine.
If you are one of those five people, let us know.
I borrow a fiver?
Exactly.
Or a Porsche.
Exactly. Now, moving internationally, guys, a couple of things around the world. Something that's going to get me a little bit angry a bit later on. But first of all, Detroit. Going to Detroit. We've talked about Detroit quite a bit on this show.
Mike has been there.
I went to Detroit earlier this year. It's a depressing place.
Depressing, fascinating, but depressing. Apparently, there's a bit of an issue with parking fines, Dan Cardner.
There certainly is. Someone's found out that that if you called in every outstanding parking fine that currently exists in Detroit, it would be over $80 million.
No wonder the city's bankrupt. Nobody's paying their fines.
Someone suggested that this might be enough to get them out of trouble, but frankly, it isn't. $80 million would probably scratch the surface with the problems they have in Detroit. But yes, someone actually sat down and got the information and worked out that if they called in every fine that's currently outstanding, I hasten to add that, and this is speculative, but I would say those parking fines are probably increasing by the minute.
Yeah.
It's a pretty lawless place, and I think people park wherever the heck they
damn
like.
Hell.
Yeah. and so, yeah, I suspect that figure of $82 million outstanding is probably growing by the second.
Yeah.
So, yes, good old Detroit. If only they had some law enforcement people there, they might actually be able to win back
a bit
of cash.
Do something about
it. But wouldn't that be nice? Wouldn't that be nice if parking fines paved the way to a new dawn for Detroit?
Oh, look, I support that, but I fear you're quite right that they might need a little bit more. Just a little bit more than that.
Bless them.
Bless their cotton socks. Some other news. PSA, so Peugeot Citroen, their joint venture, they're not going to die, guys. They've been saved by the Chinese.
Okay? Partially saved.
Partially, exactly. Yeah. Partially saved by the Chinese and the French government.
Yes, but what's the name of the Chinese company that tipped many, many hundreds of millions of euros into PSA?
That would be Dongfeng.
Dongfeng.
Thankfully, it wasn't Joy Long or... What's the other one? There's another one that's a bit sexy.
There's a Chinese... We're thinking of Chinese car brands. Yeah. There's Joy Long, there's Dongfeng.
And there's another... Huh?
No, I was just going to make a bad joke saying it wouldn't be the first time that a big dong has saved the day.
Hello.
That's very true.
Yeah.
But that's exciting. So they've got a bit of a cash injection from a couple of different...
Hang on. You can't say that. You can't say big dong injection saves the day.
I know. But it has. Thankfully,
Why has no sub-editor put that on a story?
I know, right?
Because they haven't big dong me,
saves
clearly,
the day. They've got legal departments.
Yeah. It's good
But
news.
It is good because you've got... Yeah. It's the way of the modern world is... Mm. Established European car makers are losing money hand over fist, and a lot of Asian car makers are making a killing, and it's a natural fit because Peugeot will lend the Chinese company a bit of its credibility, and the Chinese will give Peugeot the money to lend that credibility.
Wow, this is so
theoretically it should be a good arrangement. Yes. Like Volvo is Chinese owned.
So strange. You mean a government is actually giving money to a car company that needs assistance to try and make it?
I know, right?
Stick around in the country.
Very good point.
How funny! Why hasn't anyone thought about that before?
Yeah,
I'm saying nothing more.
Yeah, it's controversial. Yeah. Controversial, guys. Now, we have a little bit more coming up just around the corner, including a bit of a rant about Bernie Eccleston, guys. So do stick around for that. You are listening to Fender Bender on Joy 94.9. Welcome back to Fender Bender on Joy 94.9. Tim, Mike and Dan here with you on the Saturday afternoon that is a little bit overcast in Melbourne. Hopefully it's a little bit nicer wherever you are. I have something to add that has nothing to do with anything. Yesterday, boys, on my way home from work, I drove past a Suzuki Cappuccino.
Yes! What a great little car that is.
It was on the road, too, driving, like someone was in it.
You drove over it or you drove past it?
Yeah. Well, I nearly drove over it, yeah. It's such a tiny little thing, and I just haven't seen one of those in years. And this really burly-looking tradie dude was driving it. I was like, that's a bit hot, but B... Awesome. Awesome to see a Suzuki Cappuccino.
Come and get my cappuccino. Yeah.
It's frothy. Ugh.
There is a lot good about that little car, actually. Oh. It's probably a bit small for Australian tastes, but when I was many, many years ago, one of the very first garages I worked for as a mechanic, because I was a mechanic for 10 years, only a few people know, was a Suzuki dealership in the UK. And we used to deal with the cappuccinos quite frequently. And one of the things that was enormous fun is that we could plug in the onboard diagnostics and you could change all of the engine parameters temporarily. As soon as you unplug the onboard diagnostics, it would revert back to standard. So you could up the boost pressure to enormous levels and drive them around with in excess of 100 brake horsepower from little 1 litre.
From a cappuccino.
It's the greatest little car. And I've seen people like put nitrous injection on them and put huge turbos and things
like
that.
So just put a chip in the thing.
Yeah, absolutely right. You can do it. I mean, there's ways of doing it permanently now. But yeah, that was a huge fun car. Brilliant.
Really?
Yeah, I loved it.
For those who don't know, Suzuki Cappuccino is this tiny, tiny, it's called a K car.
Yeah.
In Japan, they have a sub-segment of cars called K cars. They're minuscule. Mm. They're done for tax dodging purposes, basically. And this is a little convertible one. And it's about the size of a size 13 Nike running shoe.
Yeah, it really is, isn't it?
And it has amazing. A lot visually similar about that, too. Yes.
And it's funny because I do quite like a few of those little K cars. And they will never, ever come here again, I would say. I think that was one of the only ones that has ever really made it
when
to
I was
Australia.
In Japan last year, I drove a Honda K car
did
and
you?
I ticked a massive box yeah. off the bucket list.
How did you get in, Mike? You're 6 foot million.
You'd be amazed how, because they're all boxy. They're like cereal boxes on
quite
caster
high.
Wheels.
Yeah.
And so I could fit in there just fine.
Cool.
Yeah, if I crashed, I would die instantly.
Yeah. I drove a Mitsubishi EK when I was there last year, which is, I think, a Nissan co-development. And we were at Mabara Circuit, which is a cute little track. And, yes, I nearly turned that thing upside down because I was like, okay, the car I was driving before, it was a little bit more capable. And I was like, oh, I'll just go around this corner. No, I won't. No, I won't go around the corner. But it's super fun.
We'll understeer into a hedge.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. But, yes, we won't be seeing much of them here. So going from cute tiny things to horrible tiny things,
nice.
Bernie Eccleston, ladies and gentlemen.
A melted, waxen Andy Warhol impersonator.
He really is. What a jerk. Now,
treacherous little gnome that he is.
He's not known for his manners or his manner, really, is he? He's got a fairly shocking reputation. Now, he's come out in the last couple of days and said something fairly appalling, really.
Yes, he's definitely come out in a manner of thing. He is the chairman of the Formula One, for those of you who don't know. Formula One, the world's most prestigious racing competition. He's the boss of it. He's the man who runs it. He's a tiny little dwarven, strange-looking man who has said some horribly homophobic things during the week.
He really has. He is basically, we're all familiar with what's happening in Russia with the anti-propaganda laws. So basically you can't teach anyone under the age of 18 about gay because it doesn't exist, and you will become gay, obviously, if you learn about that. You will immediately start wearing dresses.
I just became a bit more gay because you said those words twice.
Are you sure it wasn't because I'm the word Putin? That's kind of a gay Putin. Anyway, let's not talk about Putin's pooty. But so some controversial things happening over there. Obviously, there's a lot of people boycotting the Winter Olympic Games, and Russia's not the favourite place of the gays at the moment for very good reason. And Eccleston has come out and said that he agrees with... he completely agrees with Vladimir Putin's anti-gay propaganda laws, and that he believes that 90% of the world do as well.
Wow.
Okay. He's so rich he's taken his own poll.
He's done a census.
Yep.
Yeah, he's done
clearly.
A census. And he knows that, yes, 90% of the world... Yeah.
Well, when he says the world, what I assume he means is his world.
His gentleman's
club. When you have your head so far up your own ass, then you know it becomes very difficult to have a clear view of what's actually going on in the real world, Mr. Eccleston. Yep. Or should I call you the train robber?
Wow, yeah, a little bit. Well, you know, he was saying that Putin hasn't said that he doesn't agree with homosexuality, just that he doesn't want these things publicised to an audience under the age of 18. So, yeah, he's really not... It's not a great thing, probably, for the GLBTI Formula One fans.
Do you know what? It kind of explains something to me, too. There's been speculation over the years a couple of Formula One drivers are gay.
Yeah.
It's talked about in pit lane. It's well known. I won't name them here, but it is widely known that there's been a few recent Formula One drivers who are gay. Mm. None of them have come out and even whispered the possibility of it. And often it's been... We've wondered, why not? You know, Formula One would seem one of the more open sports. Glamour follows Formula One around the world. Mm. It's huge in certain circles that you would think would be quite gay-friendly.
Yeah.
This might explain, because they know the leadership at the top has this sort of archaic, outdated viewpoint of the world.
It's a real shame, actually. I mean, I think he's 83 or something. It's time to maybe give up
What, and just die, you mean?
Well, look, I wasn't going to say it, Dan, but you've got
it out. Did.
Just die.
As a side point,
I
find it very ironic that, you know, Russia has this stance, you know, and yet the Winter Olympics are the campest, gayest thing in the world.
Yeah.
You know, you watch men's figure skating. Come on. Come on.
What are you saying? Yeah, totally. Oh, it's fabulous. That's the only thing I watch.
It's the most
fabulous
sport in the world.
Yeah, totally.
Do you reckon the train robber's going to be out here for the Formula One?
What are you saying? Should we mug him or something?
No, I'd say let's invite him on the station. Let's get him on.
Can you imagine? I wouldn't be able to see him in the chair opposite me, though.
Yeah, come on. Yeah, come on.
We could put him on a few little cushions.
Be great. Yeah. I'll be like, come on. It's cool. It's called Joy 94.9. It's... a specialist interest radio station.
Yeah.
Come on, it'll be fun.
Totally. Let's push it. Look, if you're outraged at what Mr. Eccleston has said, we'd love to hear from you. 0427JOY949 is the text line.
And will it affect you following Formula One?
Well, exactly. Very good point. Email onair@joy.org.au. Will you boycott the... When is the Grand Prix again? In a couple of weeks.
Yeah, it's in a couple of weeks' time.
Has someone done exactly as you said, Mike, and texted in?
Have they? Oh.
It's a leading question.
There are texts in, although we haven't got any Formula One related texts in just yet.
But also, can I just say, with the Formula One in a couple of weeks, it'll be interesting to see if anyone does anything like they've been doing with the Olympics and turns up in a rainbow kind of outfit, like as a kind of a protest to what's been said.
Mm.
It'll be interesting to see if that happens.
I'm totally going to do it.
Do it.
I am. I'm going to don my rainbow flag cape.
I think the engineers have already kind of done it. There's been a big controversy recently. Every year, Formula One cars get a redesign, and there's a massive redesign happening this year because there's a whole new engine that's going in the car. So I won't go into detail, but the cars, they've got a very specialised engineering trait to get them as aerodynamic as possible this year, and they're all experimenting with this new look. And I won't beat around the bush. All the cars have penises on the front of them. Look up every model year. 2014 Formula One car. If you're at home, do a Google. 2014... Formula One car design. They've all got this bulbous, rounded kind of rod thing on the front of them. They all have penises on the front of them.
Well,
I thought you were going to say that they have redecorated. One of the teams has decided to go with rainbow colours.
That's what I thought.
So I think every engineer is sort of just having a bit of a sort of lend at old Bernie.
Who knew that Formula One was... Well, we knew it was a sausage fest, but now it's literally a sausage fest. Well, wow. I'd never been interested in the sport, but now I will be. Okay, I will be checking out those dongs.
You're going to be cruising the garages.
I know, as if I wasn't going to anyway. Now, more things that have happened this week. No, there's not really anything else that's happened this week, but there is something happening in a couple of weeks, which is the Geneva Motor Show. I believe a couple of weeks ago you guys talked a little bit about what's coming up. Well, there's some more things that have been announced. It's
going to
be huge. It's going to be huge, and you and I, Mike Costello, will be there.
We will be there for our day jobs, for and
freezing
of course, bringing stuff to Fender Bender as well. And yes, it will be cold. Geneva, the Canberra of Europe.
well, that's exciting.
Which is a good thing. Yes, it's one of the world's biggest motor shows. Not in terms of overall size. That would be Frankfurt/Paris.
Yeah.
But it does host among the world's most new or premieres of new models, especially from the high-end European car makers. And, you know, this is where, if you're a car maker worth your salt and you have a new thing that you want to show the world, this is where you do it.
This is what you do. There's a few things that have come out in the last week that we're aware of that are going to be showing there. One, which is a pretty big for a little car, is the Mazda 2.
Yes.
Which is it overdue for a replacement?
Yeah, a little bit. I mean, it's still Australia's favourite light car, though. Last year, it sold more than the Yaris or the Mirage or anything else.
Thank
Mazda
God.
2 was the most popular of the bunch. They got a new one coming out. It's also being released. it's gonna be new from the ground up, basically. Yeah. And being a Mazda, you can rest assured it'll be quite a good thing because they've got runs on the board where that's concerned.
And they've shown a little bit of a little headlight.
Or
a
tease.
They've done a tease, which we know that you do not like, Dan Gardner.
Come on
with your teasing.
He's not a fan of teasing.
He is not. And it already looks like a Mini 3, which is a Mini 6.
Yeah, and it's following the same design trend that they said they were going to do. And yeah, good, because both offerings we've got with that... Hang on, how many have we got with that new design?
I think it's just the 2 and the 6.
The 3 and the 6.
Yeah, CX-5.
Yeah.
So Mazda's just doing the whole family thing.
Yeah,
all gonna have
and it'll look great. Yeah. I mean, the current one is a fantastic little car. And it's also, I've decided, the best all-weather car you can get.
In what way?
Well, I had to be at an engagement in the city back during the Christmas break. Oh, just before Christmas break, and the weather was horrendous. We'd had these... It was middle of a storm. There was flooding everywhere. And the car I had to get me into the city to this important engagement with not much time was a Mazda 2. And it was the best car in the world for negotiating.
Really?
You know what happens in Melbourne when it rains is everyone suddenly forgets how to drive.
They just stop.
What you need is the tiny car to get through places.
Cappuccino.
Suzuki Cappuccino would be excellent. Another good example. That would be brilliant. But the only problem with that is that because it's so little, you would actually completely submerge. You'd need a snorkel for some of the puddles I went through.
Yeah.
The Mazda 2 sits up a little bit higher than something like that. It's skinny little tyres, cut through puddles and things without aquaplaning brilliantly.
Wow.
And it's a tiny little car for sneaking through all the gaps when people just decide to stop driving because it's raining. It's the best all-weather proposition I've ever known.
Wow. Big call. I was quite impressed with it. We did drive one not that long ago that was, you know, it's an older model, but I was like, this is still all right, you know.
So, yeah.
Good for them. But I'm sure the new one will be much better than the already good car that we have. The other big thing that's going to happen, and I really hope they get this right, is the Audi TT, the third generation Audi TT. Now, the first generation's iconic. We all know it. We love it. If you don't love it, you're an idiot, and I will punch you in the face. I'm not kidding. Okay, I will find you.
We need to do like a used car review of that, and you need to put that in the story.
I think that's fair. Do you know what I mean? Like, there is nothing like that car on earth, and yeah, it was.
I want
it just
a
broke
silver
barriers.
First generation TT Roadster totally. With those orange leather seats. That's what I want as my classic car.
Really?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Do it.
The baseball glove stitching.
That's right.
Fantastic. Oh wow!
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Sensational. Sexy in here, isn't it?
Tim's getting a little bit too excited by this car.
But then what I found with the second generation, I think the second generation design is brilliant. Obviously, it couldn't have existed without the first one, but it is such a lovely evolution of that first generation design. Yeah. I think they did really well with it. Let's just... What's going to happen, guys? What's going to happen?
Well, they've shown us a couple of sketches of this thing, and it looks extremely, as the term we use would be evolutionary rather than revolutionary, which means they've stuck to the formula, added a few little features. It's got that sharper Audi nose that they're doing.
Yeah.
It's got the really big hexagonal grille, and they've moved the badge and done a few bits and pieces. The real big news of this car is the interior, though. They've shown us the full-fledged interior.
Oh, that's right.
And they've got... There's no screen or buttons of any sort in the central fascia to control the music or the navigation. It's all in the driver's instruments. So right in front of the right behind the steering wheel, in front of your eyes, is a 12-inch screen with every bit of information in the
car.
That's
awesome.
And in the center of the fascia is just your air vents and the buttons to control the air vents. So it looks like it's straight out of the 60s when cars were incredibly simple and there was absolutely nothing. No features of any sort. It looks just like that. It looks very basic, very simple, very clean, which I think is quite amazing.
Yeah.
It looks fantastic.
Yeah.
And if they can carry that over to the exterior, well, then they'll be safe.
Yeah.
Well, Audi, and particularly with the TT, is good at two things. One is interiors. It's always, well, certainly in recent years, interiors have been absolutely wonderful, both ergonomically and also styling-wise and quality and fit out. The other thing they're very good with relation to the TT is keeping things exactly as they were in the concept stage.
Yeah.
So, as the first one was, you know, when that was shown as a concept back in, was it
98.
Everyone said, yeah, it's fantastic, the concept, but obviously it'll never make it to the road like that. And it bloody did.
Yeah.
Pretty much exact. So, we've got a sketch of the exterior. Chances are it'll look a lot like that.
Yeah.
And the interior, I would bet my bottom dollar it'll be
exactly the same. Let's hope so. Fingers crossed for Audi. And fingers crossed for us, quite frankly.
Yeah. Fingers crossed for Mike. Help getting him a silver original.
Yeah. If possibly with this someone out there.
If you're interested in selling it for $7.50, please contact Joy.
Text in, exactly. 0427-JOY-949. This is Fender Bender on Joy 94.9. We have got lots more coming up just around the corner.
Get ready for Fender Bender, all the motoring news and reviews you can handle.
That's true. Get ready for Fender Bender. It's already on. That guy doesn't know anything. Has he been listening to us? I mean, we've been on for half an hour, guys. Oh, recorded
you
messages.
You tell him. You tell
I'll tell that imaginary
He's probably
going
to record a message back to you, and he'll play it later, but it'll be late.
Yeah, exactly.
In that amazing, deep radio voice.
I don't know who
just
that dude
cannot
is.
Mimic. I wish I could.
No. He's good. He's good. This is Fender Bender on Joy 94.9. All of your motoring news right here on Joy. And we've had some texts in, one or two, about Bernie Eccleston, I believe. Jim from Elphington has said, does anyone care or even hear Eccleston?
Well, it's hard to hear him because he's so far down towards the ground when he talks. You know?
It's true. It's true.
Really stretched to hear. I don't know. I mean, he's a pretty prominent guy. Although, you know, he's sort of... You're right. He's been saying such hateful things for such a long time. People have probably tuned him out by now.
Yeah, I think so. I think that's... All of the messages? That's all the messages.
At least about Bernie.
Yeah, exactly.
At least about Bernie.
So, yes, screw Bernie, basically.
Well, yes, that would really set his wires loose, wouldn't it? I mean, he wouldn't know what to do about that.
Well, who was saying... Somebody was saying recently the people that get... Oh, some politician was saying, you know, the people get antsy. Oh, about Cory Bernardi, the senator from South Australia.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
And it was Warren Entsch, the Liberal guy who's pro-GLBTI rights, and he's quite amazing. He said, the people that complain about gay the most are usually the ones thinking about it the most.
So, very nice.
Burn. Yeah, total burn. TB.
Burn.
B. Exactly. Hello. Exactly. Now, guys, there's been a few cars come out this week, and some have been released too.
Right.
Now, a big one that could change the sales charts, well, not change the sales charts, it could keep going, is Toyota's Corolla sedan came out this week. So the booted version of the... Are you falling asleep?
Man, come on, it's not that bad.
It is, look, it might not be the most exciting car around.
But it's pretty important.
But it is very important. It's going to be, it will really push their sales even further. It's going to be interesting to see, you know, they typically do, what, about 4,000 units a month with the Corolla?
Yeah, so this is the big battle of 2014, is Mazda unveiled its new Generation 3 at the start of the year and said, right, we're going to be back on top of the sales charts. Because yeah. Toyota Corolla was a top-selling car last year. 3 was a top-selling car the year before. Mazda has this new model. It's all pumped up. Yeah. The next week, Toyota says, right, we've got our new Corolla sedan. It goes to our Corolla hatch. It was already on sale. And combined, we're going to take the fight right back to you. And that's why this car's important. It's a giant, you know, bragging contest, basically. But who can sell the most? And this is an important part of that. The car
Who's
itself,
got the biggest dong?
The car itself is a $20,000 small segment sedan that is perfectly good in most ways. Not particularly exciting, but that's a Corolla. And I'm sure if you buy one, it will never die.
Yeah.
The end.
And it's built in Thailand.
Oh, not the end. There you go. One more bit. Yeah, okay. All right. I'll just sit over here in my shutting up place.
Shut up, Dan.
No, but look, it'll be interesting to see how much of an impact that has on sales and whether people will stick with the hatch or go with sedan. And we will monitor that as the year progresses. Now, something else that came out this week, another small car that you drove, Mike Costello, is the Golf Wagon.
Yes, I went to Adelaide during the week to go to the launch of the Volkswagen Golf Wagon. It's the golf
Volkswagen
for people
golf
who
wagon.
Want to put more clubs in the back. Hey!
Well, listen to it.
No, it's a very simple formula. Mm. It's a Golf with a bigger bum on it that can fit more stuff. In Europe, people love these cars. But in Australia, people tend to buy small SUVs like a Mazda 6.5 or even a Volkswagen Tiguan.
Yeah.
People like sitting up nice and high. Even though the Golf Wagon has far more cargo space than the biggest SUV in that segment. So a Honda CR-V, which is the biggest compact SUV, the Golf absolutely trounces it for the amount of stuff that you can stick in the back of it. But because it doesn't ride up high and because it doesn't have that SUV look, Australian buyers probably won't rush to this car in droves, which is a shame because they should, because objectively speaking, it's better than any SUV. It drives better, it performs better, it's more frugal, it's better looking, it's better made, it's better value, and it can fit more stuff. And as far as those small wagon cars go, when I'm talking about the i30 from Hyundai, the Cruze from Holden, the Golf is clearly the best in the segment. The only issue with Volkswagen, as ever, is potentially some issues with the after sales. We know there's been problems with the car. Don't know if they got it sorted or not. They say they have. Who really knows? Time will tell. Aside from that, it's almost a flawless car, just like the hatch.
So, in summary, what Mike is saying is if you are in the market for a car with a little bit of boot space extra, and you don't necessarily do any off-road driving or any mild, loose surface driving, and you don't consider the Golf as an option, you are stupid.
Bingo.
Pretty much.
I'll just leave that with you if you're that person.
Yes. Yeah.
On the topic of compact SUVs, however, we have had an email from Simo from the Paris end of East St Kilda.
That's amazing. That's amazing.
And suitably, he's talking about a French brand. One of the French brands is bringing out an off-road SUV named Cactus. That is Citroën that's bringing out that car. They have revealed the production version. And the interesting thing about the Cactus is it has these strange plastic air bubbles on the doors.
Air bumps.
Yes, they're air bumps. And if you hit the door on a trolley or another car, it protects it from any damage, both your car and the thing that you hit.
Yeah.
Which is a fantastic idea. Being made from
Very
French
logical.
Plastic, though, they'll probably disintegrate in a bit.
I'll have to have
a warehouse full of replacement parts.
Yeah.
Citroën is basic. Citroën and Peugeot are sister companies. They want to differentiate the two brands. Citroën's going down market, Peugeot's going up market, and Citroën's going to start making cheap and cheerful fun cars.
Yep.
Cactus is one of those. It looks absolutely fantastic.
It looks brilliant.
Tim, you're a bit of a Citroën expert amongst the motoring fraternity. What's the Australian situation with that car?
Well, it's a possibility. They're really trying to make it work as kind of an alternative. So it's based on the C4 hatch, and it's actually called, I think Simo's actually asking whether they'll change the name for the Australian market. I don't think they will. I think it's going to be called the C4 Cactus if it comes here, because that's the name of it internationally. There's no reason they'd change that here.
Yes, they're a bit prickly about changing
names. Come on!
What?
Listen to it. But look, it's a big chance, I think. They're really trying to grow here, and the only way they can do that is by introducing new and interesting models. There's no point in kind of wheeling out the same stuff they have been doing. No one's buying the C4 as it is. This is something a little bit different. So, I've spoken to to them and they've said it's a possibility, we're looking into it, which I think is a yes, it's probably coming.
If you have a valid SUV internationally and you don't bring it to Australia, then you're crazy, because people in Australia love SUVs.
Yep.
They will bring that car to Australia.
Yeah,
it will,
it will
come probably late this year, perhaps early next year. You can bet your bottom dollar on that. It will be priced somewhere somewhere around 30K, I would suggest.
Yeah.
Keep a very close eye peeled, Simo, if you're interested in the thing, because there will be updates to come.
Do you reckon it's called the Cactus because it's got a protrusion on the outside that protects it from stuff? Is that why it's called the Cactus?
I hadn't thought about that,
but
that makes sense.
French. Who knows?
Yeah, I reckon it could. I've only just sort of thought
that
of it
that makes total sense.
That's a pretty good idea.
Do you reckon those little sort of air bumps on the outside will be like, you know when you bought your first pair of Nike Airs and they had that little bubble in it? And I remember being at school and I was looking at this for days on end. I was thinking, it can't do anything. And then one day I stuck a pin in it and it bloody did do something.
What happened?
It went down.
Oh, Dan, yeah, did you ruin them?
My shoes. Oh, yeah, ruined them. I was like, no, it's just cosmetic. It doesn't do anything.
Are you going to try that with the car?
Yes, I am.
You might need a big knife.
What if it's like, you know when you get a package and it's in bubble wrap and you can't resist just popping them? What if you go up and people and just pop in the doors on your car?
No, people will be doing the automated equivalent of popping bubble wrap, and that is opening doors on them everywhere. I'm going to pull alongside a Cactus in a car park and just go bang as it opens the door because I know it's okay.
It's quite interesting because, as you were saying before about cars kind of maintaining the look of their concept, this is a perfect example of that because it is almost identical. Apart from the front lights, it is almost identical to the concept that they showed at Frankfurt, I think it was, last year. And it's funny because a lot of people have commented that those air bumps, because it's a different colour than the body colour, it looks like those American cars from, is it the 70s?
With the wood panel, yes.
Correct.
It does.
Which it does kind of have that vibe, but it's such a fabulous looking thing. Also, front bench seats.
Oh, thanks. Yeah.
Damn.
You won't be going around corners very fast, but otherwise you'll end up on the wrong side of the car.
No, because I looked at it, it's very flat. But it's got all the
tech. Five-star safety with bench seats, though. You can't release a car without five-star safety
interesting
in the modern
point.
Age. It just won't sell.
Well, what's unsafe about it?
Well, because the seats like themselves aren't holding you in as much, which means the other equipment, airbags and the other stuff, has to do more work to prevent... Because your body's going to move around more.
Yeah.
Inertia's going to make your body move around faster, so airbags have to do more work.
True.
Perhaps there's one further air bump and it's one enormous airbag that opens out and leaves just enough space for a person.
It turns into one of those Zorba ball things and just rolls down.
Yeah.
That could
Or like Demolition Man when the expanding foam fills the entire inside of the car.
I have not seen that movie.
You must leave the radio station immediately.
Okay.
I will finish the show, don't worry.
And
I want you to watch that film.
I will.
For the bit where the car crashes and fills the interior with foam and have to chip themselves out of the solidified substance.
Wow. That sounds saucy.
Yeah.
But look, hopefully they will bring it, especially because the only thing they've really got in the SUV thing at the moment is the Mitsubishi ASX-based C4 Aircross.
And when we say ASX-based, it is an ASX with a Citroen badge on the front.
Pretty much. So do something about that toot sweet Citroen. This is Fender Bender on Joy 94.9. It is 3:42 and 19 seconds. You are listening to Fender Bender on Joy 94.9. That was a song. Do you know what the song was, Dan?
I know it was by a fantastic group called The Classics, and the track was called...
All You're Waiting For?
It is.
Yeah,
was.
There you go.
Classics with an X.
Yes, I
two
know.
X's. Two X's.
They don't know how to spell very well, so we might need to give them a lesson.
It's artistic license. All right, you can forgive them because they make great music.
That's true. This is Fender Bender on Joy 94.9. Happy to have your company today. We're talking about cars. We're talking about some pretty sexy cars, and one of them has been driven very recently in a foreign country by one of us in this room. If you can guess, text it. No, I'm just kidding. Mike, you've been in a Porsche, I believe.
I've been in a Porsche. I was very fortunate. Porsche took me to Germany last week to their testing facility in Leipzig, which is an eastern city. And they have this massive test track / factory on an old East German military base, which is
really
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
They have this new controversial new model called the Porsche Macan, which is the Indonesian word for tiger.
Have they gone Indonesian?
I have no idea. But it kind of fits their theme of naming their cars sort of exotic names, you know, the Cayenne and the Panamera. But they've got
Tuareg.
They've got more of a South American feel, don't they? So it's strange. But anyway, they've got the Cayenne full-size SUV. Now they have the Macan baby SUV. Porsche knows that it needs to sell more cars because its Volkswagen overlords expect it to. And so it's taken an Audi Q5, which is a, you know, fairly expensive premium SUV. And Volkswagen said to Porsche, right, you can change 30% of this car and give it a new body shell and call it a Porsche. Right. Porsche engineers pushed back and said, nein, put 70% new pieces in it and put a new sexy Porsche body on the top. And they're selling it. It's going to launch in Australia soon from $85,000, which is pretty cheap for a Porsche.
Wow.
By far the cheapest Porsche in Australia. Mm. And only about $5,000 more than the equivalent BMW X3. And if you have the choice of a Porsche key or a BMW key on the bar to impress somebody, you're going to choose a Porsche key.
Well, look.
Therefore, it's going to sell in droves.
Yeah.
However, it also happens to be probably the best premium small SUV on the market, full stop.
Wow.
We did a variety of driving in this thing on track, on the roads, on the autobahns, and all sorts of testing. Porsche obviously realizes that its point of difference is to make things sporty and dynamic. That's what it has to do. A car isn't a Porsche unless it can handle. They've somehow made this car handle like a hot hatch. I don't quite know how.
Right.
We drove the turbo, the hypo, you know, super, super sports version around their test track with a 911 as a pace car. And that 911 wasn't going at full speed by any means, but it was hooking along. And we had no issues whatsoever keeping up with the thing. You know, perfect body behaviour, you know, no body roll, flat through the corners, good turn in, all the things that you want to see from a sports car in an SUV, very strange to drive in a good sort of way.
I can tell you exactly how they're doing it.
Ooh.
Do so.
It will have a ravenous appetite for tyres and brakes.
Probably.
No two ways about it. Any SUV that's been put on the market in the past that can handle, in inverted commas, and I'm doing the nationally recognised hand signal for inverted commas right as we speak, any time a car can handle like a sedan or a sports car, it has an unbelievable appetite for tyres and brakes. You cannot defy the laws of physics. That's how it will do it. Absolutely. It will be no different to all the others.
That is a very
good... If you're thinking of buying one, don't expect to get off lightly with tyre and brake bills.
That's a really good point, Dan. I suppose the counter-argument is it's a Porsche and you can probably afford tyres and brakes.
Very
true.
But
it's a damn good point that you make. Probably won't be the cheapest thing to keep on the road. But look, it's one of those cars that sort of belies its body shape in terms of the way that it performs. There's two turbo petrols, one very hardcore one that's called the turbo, the slightly detuned one, both V6s. There's a V6 diesel as well, which will be the top seller here. It's also the cheapest. It's $85,000 car. There'll be a big waiting list because they're only making 50,000 around the world this year, which is tiny.
Wow.
Tiny, tiny, tiny.
Yeah.
I don't know why they're doing it. They won't say why they're limiting production. Australia's not going to get that many, and they've already sold 200 in advance, so expect a bit of a wait. But it's probably worth it.
They've sold 200 in Australia in advance.
Or 200 very firm expressions of interest with deposits and things, so you can say roughly.
That's impressive.
It is. And the only SUV that handles as well as it that's relatively affordable is the BMW X5. So it's pretty bloody good.
Yeah.
The downside is, I mean, you can't have a high, practical, spacious car that handles well, so it isn't the most spacious SUV in the back. It's not the most practical SUV in the back, but it's by no means disgraceful.
Yep.
I still sat in the back, and I'm fairly tall, so it wasn't terrible, but not quite as good. But if you want an SUV that can actually handle and drive well and has, I mean, let's be honest, we don't want to sound cheap, but it's got the right badge on the front of it, which counts for a lot among certain circles, you know, it's a good thing. And I expect to see many of these things floating around certain suburbs of Melbourne.
Also in LA. For some reason, I'm just thinking LA. LA is going to love this thing. Totally. Is it, when you say it's maybe not as practical, so you see around Brighton and those kind of areas where there are a lot of fancy schools, people in Cairns doing the school run, we're probably not going to see them doing this.
Well, interestingly, the Cayenne will still outsell the Macan because they're just not making enough Macans. Mm. So for the time being, you'll see more Cayennes than Macans, even though the Cayenne's a lot more expensive. It's not as big as a Cayenne, so it's not going to have as much space. When I say it's still quite practical, you can still fit a lot of stuff in it, but the headroom's not quite as good as some rivals out there. And, you know, being a Porsche, the other downside is you can bet your bottom dollar the extras and the options will be pretty pricey too. So that $85,000 could very easily climb quite rapidly if you're not careful when you tick too many boxes on the option sheet.
Yeah.
If you really want a Macan and you just can't wait for that extended waiting list, then what you could perhaps do, here's a Fender Bender top tip. You could get a box of random different lengths of perforated strips of steel and a handful of tiny little nuts and bolts, and you could build your own out of this well-known toy, and it would be called the
Meccano.
Yes! Thanks, Tim. Thanks for backing me up on that one.
I didn't know where that was going for a while.
Oh, phew. Okay.
Do you remember how like you used to buy a Kitamakano that was supposed to be like a car or something, and you turn it into a crane or something?
Yeah, yeah.
Really different to the intended purpose.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. Very.
There you go. Build your own Macan.
Oh, listen to it. One question though: is it what's the ride height? Like, do you sit up? You know, in an SUV,
you do.
Sit
you up do. High? It's got a 190 millimeters of ground clearance, okay. which is about par for the course. Think a BMW X3 or an Audi Q5 or a. There's no Mercedes option in Australia that size.
Not yet.
It's what we would call a compact SUV. Yeah. So it's small. It's not tiny SUV style. It's sizable, but it's they got the Macan at the top. Sorry, the Cayenne at the top and the Macan.
Yeah.
What is its variant name? So there'll be is there a does it called you know does it follow the same thing like the
so Macan Turbo. S diesel, Macan S petrol and Macan Turbo and the boss of Porsche was asked at this event that we went to, will there be a GTS or a
that
Turbo
was precisely S my version? Line of questioning
and there will be yes.
Excellent.
There'll be a GTS.
Yes, that's what I wanted to hear.
Which will be the you know.
Do you know what I would like? Okay, Macan Targa. All right.
Hey, yeah.
Can you imagine?
Oh, brilliant. Let's do that. Yeah. Someone will do it.
Someone better.
Someone will, and I'll tell you what will be annoying is someone will make a stretched bloody limo out of it as well.
Oh, you know they're going
and
to.
And paint it pink.
Oh, yes. And there'll be hens nights in it. I'm just going to be sick on myself.
Revolting. For a car full of chickens. It's weird.
Chickens?
Yeah, hens night.
Oh,
isn't
my
that what
God.
Happens?
You are on fire today.
It's like eggs laid everywhere and straw and poo. It's disgusting.
Straw and poo?
Yeah, you know, hens nights. What happens, isn't it?
You're a sickness.
Thanks, Tim.
Now, it's time to go, guys. It's time to go and write some letters to Bernie Eccleston, who is I have been having an affair with. I want to say it publicly. Bernie and I have been having gay sex for 50 years.
Wasn't it that you broke up with him and he's bitter and angry and that's now he's lashing out?
Exactly.
Yes.
Yeah. Just for clarification,
lashing
I've
out.
Not have had sex with Bernie Eccleston because I have standards. Boys, thank you very much for another week of amazementness.
Fantastic. Thank you, Tim.
We'll see you again. Yes, thank you to our wonderful listeners, of course, for texting in and just listening, basically. Thanks, of course, to Heath and Anthony on the phones. And stick around, because Hannah is amazing, and she's up next with Little Fish. My name is Tim Nicholson, signing off for Fender Bender for another week. Safe driving.
This has been a Fender Bender podcast for Joy 94.9, Australia's first and only gay and lesbian radio station. See joy.org.au for more details.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.